Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome once again to another broadcast of The Zone. I am your host, Mr. Tom Miracle, and I just want to say thank you all for tuning in and listening to the broadcast. I share with you the last time about the prophetic dream was in 1965. That's 50 years ago, I think. A long time. And yet, those things are starting to take place. And amazing when God speaks to a man or a woman. So many people don't listen, especially when it comes to the prophetic. But like I shared with you before, those who are in the prophetic, who really are in the prophetic, are like a watchman on the wall. They see things differently in the spirit. They are shown things by the Holy Spirit, because it's like when you're on top of a wall, you see further in the distance. When you're on the level ground, your vision is only goes so far, and you can't see. Normally it's 10 miles what you see on the horizon. Well, if you're up higher, you can see a lot further. So those who are a watch person, they see the Holy Spirit shows them a lot further because they're in the prophetic. And those who aren't not in the prophetic, because either they don't want to, or they don't understand, or have not been open to them, they don't see it. Therefore, it's hard for them to accept it. And only when it starts to happen and starts to unfold do the alarms go off. Like I shared with you earlier in the broadcast, a few times before, this storm warning during 2010 is exactly what it was. It was in 2010. Didn't happen in 2014. Didn't happen in 2015. The dream took place in 2010. And I was not asking for it. Neither was I aware of it until it happened. And when it happened, it shook me all over. I was in a cold sweat. And I have proclaim this message of what's coming on this planet in America and the nations of the world. And now people are starting to have dreams and seeing the same thing. And like before, in 1965, the brother saw what he saw, Stanley Brodsham. And he put it on paper, and he shared it, and people might have listened to it. Some might have believed it was coming, but there was no, how do I say, awareness. Because 50 years ago, America wasn't in this situation that it's in now. Never before in our lifetime, or in my lifetime, or in the past 50 years, have we seen so many changes so quickly? And it seems like the target is the Christian. To be honest with you, it's the Christian target. I've read stories from people who are into same-sex marriage, and the main goal is to destroy the Christian foundation. Same thing applies to other areas as well. I mean, even ISIS now has, ever since one of their leaders was killed, I think it was Saturday, they've declared Obama and the Christians are now targeted. So look, the Christian is getting it from every side. But this is not to be something of surprise. This is what's going to happen according to the Word of God. The Bible says, as I shared with you before, there are going to be people that think they're going to kill you, that they're doing God's service. Well, guess what? These religious extremists are using that expression. we're doing it in the name of our God. And their God, to me, is the God of this world. But that's another story in itself. We are, you know, as a people, in trouble. We see things that are happening so fast and so quickly. And even our leadership and people in Congress, the Senate and House, certain ones are saying stuff that I never would believe would come out of their mouth, talking against Christians or people of America that want to do it right and take a stand. But this is because, once again, unfortunately, and how sad it is, these people are reprobate. They turn the truth into a lie. And they believe it. And that's the sad part about it. They believe their own lies to be true. But this is to be expected. Get on a different subject for a little bit before we get into the message, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I just want to let you know, I received a post on our Native American Christ page group, and it was really beautiful. It showed us the lady who the doctors who couldn't see any hope for her to live. And her sister, I believe it was, posted a picture of her, and I believe it was her husband or brother, I'm not sure. And she said, there she is. Your prayers, and everybody's praying for her. The doctors say she shouldn't be here, but here she is. But I just thank the Lord Jesus Christ that he's a merciful, compassionate God. He hears the prayers of the saints. And I just thank God for raising her up and letting her be a testimony of his resurrection power. Because, like I told you before, God is the God of the impossible. He likes to deal with what we consider impossible. He makes it possible. The Bible says all authority has been given to him from heaven and earth. Death couldn't hold him, and the grave couldn't keep him. He has all power, all authority in this universe. It belongs to him. And he wills for his people to pray so that he can show him manifest himself in front of others by healing and by miracles and by signs and wonders to let them know. I'm real. I'm here. I can heal. And I can do this. I sure can save your soul if you allow me to. And see, that's the thing. Like I said before, it's still about choice. And people, you know, that part about choices that people think they can just, how to explain myself, do it any way they want to. And that's not the way it's going to be. It's going to be God's way or no way. It's God's will on your life. And, you know, there's times where we think we are surrendering and we haven't yet surrendered, but God's a merciful God and he knows our heart. Then he starts to show us through his word where we need to have to make changes. In ourselves, we can't make the change, so we have to surrender those areas in our life to him. He'll make the changes. And, you know, what's interesting to me is that this is just had a dream tonight, and if I can go to it, I'll share it with you real quick. I believe it's right here. It says, I had a dream, and it woke me up from sleep just now. In the dream, I was watching everything happen like a movie screen. And you remember, I don't know if I told you this, but I had a dream about a week or 2 weeks ago. I was in this car, and I was on this road, and I was going up towards the mountains in Arizona. And all of a sudden, the road disappeared, and I kept going up and down, and I wasn't falling, but I just kept going up and down, and there was no vehicle. I wasn't in no vehicle that I could see. I just kept going up and down, and I was going faster and faster up and down the mountains, and then sometimes I would stop on top and see the beautiful glory, the pictures, you know, of what was up on, like, the horizon, the mountains and the sun shining and everything. But then a little bit into the dream, I ended up in a place where there was a whole bunch of people watching gigantic movie screen, and it's like a drive-in theater. I was on the side, and all I could see was things were flashing so fast, the world events that were happening all over the world that were instantaneously flashing on this screen, and there were people watching. And there were three men that were and all dressed in white with white, that white beards. They were in a different area than the other people were, and they were just praising God. That's all they were doing. And then the three men did. And then this sister has this dream and says, I had a dream and it woke me up from sleep just now. In the dream, I was watching everything happen like a movie screen, and that caught my attention. I said, like, what? That's the same thing I just saw in my dream. And it was wars and some Christians being beheaded for the faith. I saw great turmoil and fire burning up things and saw people who had fear and terror like they never had before. They were trying to find death but could not find it. I saw World War III, Armageddon break out in my dream. It was massive destruction, worse than anyone has ever seen before. That's powerful. And to me, that was confirming what I saw. Even though I mean, I saw all the things that the sister just said she just saw in her dreams just a few minutes ago. I mean, the post came on the Native American Christ about 30 minutes ago. And I read it, and it really got my attention. And see, God is speaking. He is speaking to his prophets. He's speaking to his ministers. He's speaking through his saints. He's given them dreams and visions, and he's confirming that the end is here. It may not be right in front of our eyes, but compared to eternity, it's at the door. Even when Christ came, you know, it said in these last days, you know, the last days. And he says, well, the last days was over 2,000 years ago, but it's not measured according to what we consider days, times, months, and years. It's measured. Like the Bible says, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So God's not, defined by earth time. And he says, it's over, it's over. And people are praying so much for him to come now. But the question you have to ask yourself is, if he comes now and the Gentile dispensation ends, and that's what's exactly going to take place when he comes to call his children home, All the other people, what happens to them? So it becomes like an issue for me, where, you know, hold on a little bit longer, Lord, get more in, get more souls saved. Just like in the broadcast, you know, I pray for people to give their life to Christ this night. Don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow's not promised. Minute, actually, the next breath is not promised. But a lot of people are praying at it, and nobody wants to go through persecution. I know I don't. That's one thing. I don't really want to go through it. But you know what? If I have to, I just got to depend on God's word and by his grace and the power of the Holy Spirit to get me through it. And that's the only way I can look at it. I remember some people have told me, I'm not ready for persecution. I've not read the word enough. I've not sought the Lord enough. I'm not prayed enough. And they were just saying, I play church. And I've got to make it right with them, but I don't got time to get ready. What I need to do, what I need to get done, to stand in case this all comes at me. And it's sad because this is what this is all about. It's like I shared before. It's about two choices. Prepare. Or should actually, I take that back. Choose this day who you will serve. Choose Christ or choose the devil. Choose the ways of righteousness and holiness or choose the way of the world and unrighteousness. Choose living for the Lord Jesus Christ or choose living in sin. And when you make the choice to serve Christ, then the main thing is now prepare. Prepare for eternity. Not prepare for what, you know, here and store things up here. You know, it's all about now eternity. Because you're not taking nothing with you. The only thing you're going to be taking with you is what you've got inside you. And if you don't have the word a lot in you, then you won't be taking a lot of that word with you. It's as simple as that. You know, and If you're going to be a soldier on fire for God, you have to get in His Word. You got to be trained by the Holy Spirit. And He's got to do the training. I mean, you can read books all you want. It's like I tell people, and I told you this before too. You know, I don't teach nobody nothing. I just expound what the Holy Spirit gives me, and the Holy Spirit trains them. It's not me. I'm not the trainer. I'm not the teacher. I am just the one who opens my mouth and gives what the Spirit of the Lord gives me to give to the body of Christ or to whosoever. And it's up to them to receive it and then allow the Holy Spirit to do something with them, with that in their life. So I've went over a few things. There's, how do I explain this? We can't go by what we see and let it move us, especially being a Christian. We have to go by faith and trust God. We're not, and like I said before, I'm not trying to scare nobody. I'm not trying to put fear in anyone's heart. Now, if you're a sinner, you're not saved, you're lost, if you don't know Jesus Christ, yeah. Fear God needs to be put in your life, make you realize you better repent and turn to the Lord before it's too late. But if you're a Christian, this is not to put fear in you. This is to put, it's to warn you. You know, it's just like, you know, a warning. If you look for the word, a word in the warning is war. This is a war, you know. And it's a war. It's a spiritual war. We don't fight against man. Our bodies, our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. It's a spiritual fight. And anyone who prepares, an athlete prepares to win a race or to win a contest, they get physically fit. They get themselves in a position where they are committed and dedicated to the sport they're about to compete in. And they prepare with great passion and great zeal, and they're committed fully and wholeheartedly to win. Well, that's what the Christian needs to do. We need to realize that we need to be committed to the calling that we have on our lives. And we can't be caught up with the things of the world or be entrapped by the things of the world, because if we do, it's going to be hard to run that race. It's really hard to finish what needs to be done that God has ordained for our lives. So we need to not fall into the traps that the devil has for us. We sure can't allow ourselves to be in chains or in bondage, that we can't run the race the way God wants us to. Amen? So with that, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for this time. And then, Lord, give me the words to say and don't keep us to clay. I pray, Lord God, it touches hearts and lives. I pray, Lord God, you open their spiritual eyes, spiritual ears to the word. Let them realize that time is so short and we're so close to you returning. And all it takes is for you to say, bring them home, and your people will go home. I pray, Lord God, that as the word goes forth, that it will touch hearts, lives, and minister to each and every one in the way that they'll understand that you are a God of love and great mercy and compassion. Not only any should perish, but all kind of repentance. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, I'm going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is the second letter from the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church. We'll probably go into First Corinthians next broadcast, but I wanted to share a little bit in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 about what this is all about, what our hope is in, and what, as a Christian, we are looking forward to. Because This world's going to pass away, and the lust thereof, but the word of God will last forever. And flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And things that temporal, we're not taking it with us. We're not taking no trophies. We're not taking no awards. We're not taking no Bible certificates or degrees. We're not taking no money. We're taking what we've stored in heaven and the Word of God in the heart. That's what's going to count for the Christian. The goal, Christ-like follower, is to complete the work that we've been given and to realize that this world's not our home. Eternally, heaven is our home. Be with the Lord forever and ever. This is a lot about what the scripture is talking about. Paul says in chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." But what Paul is saying is, this flesh, this body, is going to go back to where it came from. And but God has a new body waiting for us, reserved for us in heaven. And that body is what we're going to live in forever and ever. "For in this we groan earnestly," this is verse 2, "desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked." Now, this scripture means that naked would mean that we don't have on, that we're not clothed properly in the robes of righteousness. That being found naked is being found out of the will of God. Verse 4 says, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath brought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." Verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." Verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is a Christian. We have to answer. As a Christian, we have to answer for what God's given us. I mean, there's no if, ands, or buts about it. Paul makes it very clear. Bible, Jesus Christ even said, "So much is given, much is required." And in verse 10 right here, it says that according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. So we have to give. "We must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we may, everyone may receive all the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad. Therefore, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we sway by not, but we all made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest for your consciences. But we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that we may have somewhat to answer them with glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we beside ourselves, it is God, or whether we be sober, it is for a cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then for all dead. And that he died for all, they that which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." So look, there's the other part of the scripture. It says, when Christ gave his life, and of course he rose again, it says that he died for all, that they which live should not live henceforth unto themselves. So when you're a Christian, you don't live for yourself. You live for the Lord. He owns you. And the Bible says, "Earth's lords and fullness thereof, they that dwell therein." And whether we live or die, we are the Lord. And everyone's created by God. Everyone. And we got to understand that we don't own ourselves no more. It's just like children, they're alone from the Lord. were to bring them up in the way of the Lord and help them understand the Word of God and be an example to them, but they belong to the Lord. And it's the same thing for the Christian. When a person accepts Christ, he or she now belong to the Lord because he bought them with a special holy price, and that was his holy blood. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are become new. And that's the beautiful thing about this gospel and about salvation in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. All things become new. Which means all your sin is gone. All your mistakes, your rebellion, your screw-ups, all what you want to call them, your failures, whatever. Gone. Wiped away. And behold, all things become new because now God takes that heart of stone and turns it to a heart of flesh. And that what was in the past is gone. It's over and finished. And now you rise up as a new creation in Christ Jesus. And you must understand that by this awesome transformation in the Spirit, that he's doing this work in you because now you've surrendered your life to him and he owns you. And you're not your own no more. You've been bought with a price. 18th verse, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. 18th verse is pretty neat. It says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Reconcile, bring it back together, to reconnect. There were Adam and Eve and sin separated. God, a man, Jesus Christ, now became the bridge, the reconnection, to bring back that connection with God in man through Christ Jesus. Because God himself was reconciling us to the ministry of reconciliation. And that's what we're supposed to do as Christians, to bring people to a place where they can be brought into right standing with God through Jesus Christ by accepting the Savior and Lord. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, and Christ said, be you reconciled to God. So what an ambassador is simply someone who represents the person who is sending them. And you know, we have ambassadors in the United States all over the world, but in their position, they are like their ambassador, and where the embassy is at. It's like it's the United States right there. It could be 4,000 or 5,000 miles away, but that is sovereign because it represents the government and it represents the authority of the government. And the power said, be. Well, and here in the 21st says, we are ambassadors, we represent the kingdom of God. We represent God. And because we are ambassadors, that representation of the powers that be of heaven are also applied to us. I mean, that is a position that wherever we are under this jurisdiction of heaven and of God because we are ambassadors of his. 21st verse, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. So God allowed Jesus Christ to go to the cross and take the place to pay the debt that we should be paid, that we should have paid. But through that, God accepts the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ, in that holy blood, cleanses us from all sin. And not only that, it brings us into right standing with God. Not as what we've done, not what I did, but what Christ did for us. The righteousness of Christ is upon us because we are reconciled to God, and we are now represent the kingdom of God because of Christ. I want to share with you the Amplified version of this, if I can find it real quick. And it's interesting that it really gets a little bit more in-depth. So it says, this is the Amplified of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that the tent which our earth home is destroyed, dissolved, we have from God a building, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. Here indeed, in this present of old body, we sigh and groan inwardly because we yearn to be clothed over. We yearn to put on a celestial body like a garment and fit it out with our heavenly dwelling. So that by putting it on, we may not be found naked without a body. But while we are still in the tent, we groan under the burden and sigh deeply, weighed down, depressed. Not that we want to put off the body, the clothing of the spirit, but rather that we would further clothe or that what is mortal, our dying body, may be swallowed up by life after the resurrection. Now he who fashioned us, preparing and making us fit for this very thing is God, who also gave us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of the fulfillment of his promise. So the Holy Spirit given to each individual as a guarantee of the promise that God is going to do this. He's fashioning us, preparing us, and making us fit for the very thing God is going to give us. So then we are always full of good and hopeful and confident courage. We know that while we are at home in this body, we are brought from the home with the Lord that is promised us. When we walk by faith, we regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief, respecting man's relationship to God and divine things with trust and holy fervor. Thus we walk not by sight or appearance. And that's what we're supposed to be. And it's not easy. It's because our eyes will say one thing to us. And, you know, we've got to not trust what our eyes see or what we hear. We got to depend and trust and believe the word of God. Yeah, see, we have confidence and hopeful courage and are pleased rather to be away from home, out of the body, and be at home with the Lord. Therefore, whether we're at home on earth away from him or away from home and with him, we are constantly ambitious and strive earnestly to be pleasing to him. For we all must appear and be revealed. This really breaks it down a lot more than the King James Version. But we must all appear and be revealed as we are before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive his pay according to what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Concerning what his purpose and motive have been and what he has achieved, been with, and given himself his attention to accomplishing. So see, God knows. He knows these people who are out there, saying they're preachers or ministers of the gospel and they're just trying to get your money or they're trying to get fame or they're trying to get power or recognition, whatever. He knows. He knows what it's all about them. And if they're playing the game, and God forbid if they are, they're going to answer to him. It ain't going to be pleasant. I can tell you that. I don't believe it'll be pleasant. I believe that that it won't be good. And I pray that they change their hearts from the motives that they have and just have a heart for the Lord Jesus Christ, a heart for God's people, and for the people that aren't saved, and do it with a love, whatever their mission is called. That's what my prayer is. And I pray they change the ways before it's late. Okay, verse 11. Therefore, being conscious of fearing the Lord with respect and reverence, we seek to win people over to persuade them. But what sort of persons we are is plainly recognized and thoroughly understood by God. I hope that it is plainly recognized and thoroughly understood also by your conscience, your inborn discernment. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but we are providing you with an occasion and incentive to be rightful proud, so that you may have a reply for those who pride themselves on service appearances on the groups who they only appear to have, although their heart has avoided them. Other ones, people who are plain church, other ones who are imposters, who are not true ministers of the gospel. But we are beside ourselves, man, as some say, it is for God and concerns him. If we are in a right mind, it is for your benefit. For the love of Christ controls, urges us, and tells us, because we are of the opinion and conviction that one died for all, and all died. And he died for all, so that all who might live no longer to and for themselves. See, this is something that's really the people have to understand. They claim to be a Christian. You know, especially women who are pro-choice. The Bible says purely, and it's right here in the verse. And it's all over in the New Testament. It says you don't own yourself no more. I can read it again to you. Here it is. And it's in verse 15 in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. It says that he died for all, Christ, and so that all who live might live no longer to and for themselves, to and for him, Christ, who died and was raised again for their sake. I mean, it can't be no more clear and simpler than that, can it? See, people, they try to twist this gospel to their own liking, and I believe the word is lasciviousness, that they try to take what they want to take, and then they leave other things out and say, I'm a Christian. And that's why I don't tell people I'm a Christian. I say I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Because everybody says they're Christian. But in word, deed, and action, you don't see it. And people say, well, you're judging. No, I judge. And I just want you to get that clear. When you judge righteous judgment and love, that's according to the Word of God. If you see something that ain't lining up with the Word of God, that's not judging. If you're doing it out of love and you're trying to explain to that person, you know what you're doing is out of the Word of God, it's out of God's will, and you need to change. That's not judging. But if you, judging is when you, how do I explain that? When you do something not out of love, for one, and you go by your own motives or intentions or what you think, then that becomes judging. But when you look at someone and you don't see fruit in their life, not that you're trying to hurt them, but you're trying to help them and encourage them and trying to get them on the walk in the right path and not fall from the pitfalls of the enemy, that's not judging. That's if it's any judging, it's judging righteous judgment. And that's according to the Word of God. But if you're going to judge righteous judgment, it's got to be done in love. You're not trying to belittle someone. You're not trying to downcast someone. You're not trying to make someone look bad. You're trying to show them in love, the love of God, where they're missing it and what they need to correct it according to the Word of God. And it says it right here, and that's why I say what I say. People who call themselves Christian, who are pro-choice, better read the Scriptures. Because the Scriptures say right here, and there's many other places it says it, like Romans chapter 12, that we are a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. We're a living sacrifice. That means we're offered up unto the Lord. And here you see it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 15, where it says, and he died for all, I'll read it again, so that all those who might live no longer to and for themselves. So you can't live for yourself. You're living now according to the Word of God, and you're living unto the Lord. Which means you don't have a right to say, I can kill that baby inside me because I'm pro-choice, but not a Christian. That don't fly. And see, here's the thing. You can fool me. You can fool the people around you. You can even fool the pastor that you go to church, but you cannot fool God. God sees everything, knows everything, and you can't escape what from him. It's not going to happen. And, you know, let's get off the pro-choice thing. Anything anybody does that they call themselves a Christian and they're not, and it's not Christ-like what they're doing, and they say, well, I'm going to get away with it. I'll just go to church and nobody will know nothing. Let me tell you, God knows. He knows. And you're not going to get away with it. And you're going to answer for it. If you don't repent and ask forgiveness of sins, you're going to answer for it. So you might as well just cry out to God, humble yourself before the Lord, and tell him you're sorry, and ask forgiveness, and tell him you're not going to do it again, and move on, and say, Lord, help me. Help me. I'm weak in these areas, and I need your Holy Spirit to strengthen me by your word and by your anointed power, and he'll do it. But don't, like I said, don't think you're going to play games with him, because it won't work. I can't play games with him. He knows everything I do. And, you know, you can't hide from him. There's nowhere to hide. David said, if I make my bed in hell, you're there. You know, if I'm up in the heavens, you're there. If wherever I go, you're there. He's there. He's everywhere. He's God. He's sovereign. He's omnipresent. He knows all, sees all, hears all. Nothing to him. The best thing to do is repent, turn away from what you know you're doing wrong, and live for him, and wait for the blessed day when he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. 16th verse says, consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view in terms of natural standards of value. No, not even though we once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint and as a man, yet now we have such knowledge of him that we know him no longer in terms of the flesh. So now we see that what Paul is saying, we don't see Christ in the way of flesh. We see him as the way of the Son of God. Therefore, if any person is engrafting Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, previous moral and spiritual condition, the wickedness, rebelliousness, all that has passed away. That's the good news. You know, that's the good news. And behold, the fresh and new has come. The fresh and new has come. That means now you're alive in Christ. You know, and because he lives, you will live also if you continue in the faith. That's the good news. He beat death. And because he beat death, those who live for him and serve him and love him and follow him, he will resurrect them. And they will not see death. Not the death, the spiritual death. Now, you want to call it, every Christian died, that's true. But they die in the Lord. And I truly believe, and this is just my own opinion, and I'm going to say it's my opinion, that the sting of death that has nothing to do over them. They just fall asleep in the Lord and next thing is for eternity. Eternity would be with him forever. Okay, 18 verse. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. So we've been reconciled to God. He's also given us a Christian, the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ and others can come to know him as Savior and Lord. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation of the restoration to favor. So God wants to give favor, and he wants to forgive us of our sins, and he wants us to be with him forever, to reconnect through Christ. So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal as though it were through us. We as Christ's personal representative. See, the Christian is Christ's personal representative. We represent Christ. We represent the kingdom of God. We represent heaven. We represent the gospel to all. And, of course, to those who don't know Christ, so that they too can be, they too can see the glorious light of Jesus Christ and come to the light and turn from their sins and repent and receive Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord. So we are Christ, the 20th verse, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God makes us his appeal as it were through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for a sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered and be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made Christ virtually to be sin who knew no sin, that so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God. What we ought to be approved and acceptable in right relationship by him, by his goodness. So there you have it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. So we see in these passages, in these verses, that God is showing his love through Christ, that whosoever come to him will not perish but have everlasting life. And as it says here in 20th verse, God's making his appeal as it were through us. As Christ's personal representatives, beg you for his sake to lay hold on the divine favor and be reconciled to God. So tonight, if, or right now, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you've heard the message and you realize that God sent Christ to the ministry of reconciliation, and he wants to reconnect you to him through Christ, then don't wait no longer. Don't hesitate any longer. This is your opportunity. This is your moment to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord God, for everyone here in this broadcast, that God, you touch their hearts and bring holy conviction. Let them know how much you love them and how much you desire for them to be with you. I pray, Lord God, they'll turn their hearts to you and repent of their sins and accept you as Savior and Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. For those who want to say this little prayer with me from your heart and repeat these words I say, you're more than welcome to do that. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to fill in my life. I know I'm a sinner. I know I failed you. I know I've rebelled against you. I know I need a Savior. Nothing in this life is helping me. Nothing in the flesh works for me. I'm empty. I've tried everything, and it hasn't brought me any happiness whatsoever. And by hearing this message, I realize so much how much you love me and what you sent Jesus Christ to die for me, that I might be the righteousness of God in him through you, that I can be born again. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. That you'll take a stony heart and make it a heart of flesh. I want those things in my life. I desire those things in my life. I want to be saved. I want my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins, all my transgressions, all my iniquities, all my rebelliousness. I ask you to come in my life now. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. I receive you now. Hold on to me. Never let me go. Baptize me, the Holy Ghost. Help me, Lord God, follow you and give me a hunger and thirst for your word. Bless me as I start this walk in you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. You prayed that prayer. God bless you. Let me be the first one to say, welcome into the family of God. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're saved. Old things pass away because all things become new. Whatever you were into that was of the world, gone. All your sins, gone. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I would recommend that you, by yourself, a church that gives you the full counsel of God, that is going to be a church that will help you walk in your Christ-like walk so that you can grow in maturity in the Lord. If you like to share your testimony, if you accepted Jesus Christ, our P.O. Box number is 6261, Goodyear, Arizona, 85338. That's P.O. Box 6261, Goodyear, Arizona, 85338. I just want to thank you all for this time that we got to share it and read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The time is very close to coming to an end. We're at the door. I beg you, if you have not yet never given your life to Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. Don't harden your heart no longer. Surrender to him. You with an everlasting love. He hates sin, but he loves you. That's why he went to the cross for you. I just want you to know, if you want to contact me at the same P.O. Box number 6261, Julia, Arizona 85338, or Facebook groups, or you can just get my Facebook friend. I go by Thomas Miracle. I have my pick, I Stand With Israel. Oh, you can join our Facebook group, which is Storm Warning, Name Miracles for Christ. Or continue prayer for the persecuted church, American nation, the Great Awakening. Before we go off here, I'd like to pray for those who are sick, those who need healing, those who need a touch of God in their life. So if you want to pray with me, you can. So let's begin to pray, shall we? Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, that you sent your word and healed them. I pray, Lord God, for those who are hurting, those who need a miracle, those who need a touch of your healing power to flow through them. I ask, let it so be done. Let it go into the hospitals, and the nursing homes, and wherever they may be, if they can shut in, not able to get anywhere, but by hearing this radio message, that they're reaching out to you by faith. And I agree with you. I agree with your word that you set your word and heal them. I pray you heal them, set them free, set the people free from addictions, and deliver them from all kinds of attacks and chains of darkness that come against them. I pray for healing mentally, physically, spiritually. I pray that they be made whole. I pray, Lord God, that you would just let your healing power flow to those who are terminally ill and terminally sick. Break the powers of all the sickness and disease, cancer, leukemia, autism. I don't know them all, God, but you do. Each and every work of the enemy being destroyed in these people's lives. Heal them and make them whole. Let them become a testimony for you. Set them free, oh God, and let them know it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, our time is almost up. Once again, I thank you for spending this time with me. I pray that I was a blessing and encouragement to you. I pray that you learned some things through the Holy Spirit about 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And most of all, I pray that you realize more than ever how much God loves you. And he loves you with an everlasting love. And all he's waiting for you with arms wide open is for you to receive and surrender your life to you and receive him as Savior and Lord. Don't fall for the trap of the enemy. Don't let the enemy take you and lead you deeper in sin and further away. It only takes for you to cry out to God, and God will be right there to rescue you and save you and deliver you. He loves you. The greatest, no man, how does the scripture say? The scripture says, I can't exactly remember the words exactly, but I know what word I'm trying to get to, and I'll say it my way. He gave his life, and he took it back, but he gave his life. He went to that cross for you and I and for everybody. And he did it because he loves us. And he did it because he doesn't want no one to perish with all kinds of repentance. He doesn't want no one to be eternally lost. He's crying out to you. He wants you to receive him as your Savior and Lord. Will you do that today? Will you accept him? Don't hesitate. Don't wait. You don't need me to pray for you. Just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I ask forgiveness. Come into the long life and please become my Savior and Lord in Jesus Christ's name. All you got to do is all you got to say with all your heart. Don't just say no big prayer. Just say, Lord, forgive me. And he'll do that. And he'll send you in a totally different direction. He'll send you with his life and peace and joy and speakable and full of glory. But don't hesitate. Don't wait. Give him your life today. Make him Savior and Lord of your life. Amen. Amen. Once again, our P.O. Box is 6261 Goodyear, Arizona 85338. That's P.O. Box 6261 Goodyear, Arizona 85338. Our Facebook groups are Storm Warning, Native American Christ, and Continue Prayer for the Persecuted Church, America, Nation, the Awakening. Amen. Until our next broadcast, I leave you with this. People build empires, but God builds people. He builds them according to his word and by his Holy Spirit. May the Lord bless you, and may you get to know him as Savior and Lord. And may you follow all the days of your life. God bless.